What started as a Sunday drive through the Sonoma hillside turned into a love affair with a spectacular vineyard location that is now Keller Estate Winery. Thanks so much for joining us today. So tell me, years ago, your parents discovered this property. How did that come about?
Well, my dad has always loved old cars, and he's always been driving the old cars and the best roads he can find. And Sonoma County certainly has beautiful, windy roads. And it happened to be that Lakeville was this long stretch where you could actually, you know, race a little bit. And he enjoyed that. He knew about this property. He had seen it for a long time. This is back in the early 80s. This was just cow grazing country, so really right. Not wine country yet. He loved this property, found out it was available for sale, and was able to jump on the opportunity and purchase the ranch.
So, and years ago it was just a ranch. To see it today, I mean, it's a stunning estate with so much more than just vineyards. The winery is stunning, the olive groves. I mean, tell me, how was that his initial vision?
No, I think he, you know, it started out as a hobby who got out of control. He loved the property, he loves old cars, and he built a little road, a dirt road around the property to test drive his old cars.
Oh, I love that.
And so he'd drive the old cars and he built a little garage to test drive them. Then he paved the road, and then they decided that they needed to, you know, green up the place. So they started looking for things they could plant, and somebody said, well, you know, Carneros is right next to us. Why don't we try that? Why don't we try grapes? So they went to UC Davis, and Davis told them, you know, plant Chardonnay. Pinot Noir is too difficult to grow. It won't ripen where you are. But, you know, worst case scenario, if you can't ripen the Chardonnay, you could always sell it to a sparkling wine producer.
Really?
So those were really the expectations back in the late 80s.
Wow.
You know, fast forward, we've now planted 90 acres of vineyards, 30 acres of olives, and we've planted over 5,000 trees on the property. So it really has become a passion. You know, kind of a labor of making it even more beautiful every time and putting back into what we hope is a property that will live on for many generations.
Absolutely. And so when he was studying what varietals would flourish here, tell me about that and how this climate is really ideal for so many that were totally unexpected.
Well, it turns out that, you know, eventually we became the Sonoma Coast region, and we are at the heart of the Petaluma Gap. So out by the ocean in Bodega Bay, the mountain ridge, instead of running parallel to the coast, it actually runs perpendicular to the coast. So instead of the fog just rolling in, it actually comes through this wind tunnel that's created and goes all the way out to the San Pablo Bay. So this wind tunnel makes this very beautiful, cool, windy place. Every afternoon, we get these, you know, this beautiful steady wind that slows down maturation for the vines. So it extends the grape growing cycle, and it's become kind of one of the hottest areas. Actually, it's one of the coolest areas to grow grapes. And Chardonnay does beautifully here. It does beautifully because we've got beautiful mineral soils that were, this used to be part of the seabeds of the San Pablo Bay. The ocean receded and left a lot of minerality in the soil. The Pinot Noir, it was just, you know, where Chardonnay does beautifully, Pinot tends to like it. And the cool climate worked very well. And we make, you know, we love making Pinot Noirs and wines that are food friendly. And this region produces wines with great acidity, nice kind of big, you know, big, beautiful fruit. I always say that we're in California and we need to honor the California fruit. It needs to shine through the wines.
Yes.
But more than anything, food friendly.
Yeah. And you talked earlier about a sense of place. Tell me about how that speaks out in your wines.
Well, you know, we're very lucky that we're able to make wines exclusively from fruit that we grow at our estate. So we're what is considered a true estate. Every bottle of wine that you taste at Keller Estate was grown on this property. So hopefully, if you become a club member, if you enjoy our wines year in, year out, you'll see the passage of time through our vines. Really getting to know the wines, the region, from this particular place. And the wines that I like to make really try to always be, I always say I'm very conservative in the winemaking style. I try not to go to, you know, big wines or very lean wines. I try to do something that's very respectful of our land. So it always seems that it's kind of a nice balance between both of those sides.
Absolutely. And now, how do you collaborate with your winemaker to make sure that kind of your vision is imparted to your wine?
Well, you know, at the beginning we would taste it. We butted heads a lot. I had been choosing or directing the winemaking decisions since we started, so I know exactly where, the blend feels right. So once we're tasting, the blend felt right and we would select it. For the first few years, it was really about making sure that each particular little section that we have in the vineyard was finding its place in a wine. So our Oro de Plata is predominantly Huente clone from a particular section. And this, the La Cruz Chardonnay, comes from another section and different clones of Chardonnay. Now we're at a stage where we're actually playing around in the cellar with all the different coopers, making sure that each block of the vineyard knows what cooper it likes and what wine it likes. And hopefully it's a next stage of maturity at the winery.
Wow, fascinating. I love that. So tell me too about your caves here at the property that we're in. They're beautiful and very cool on a hot day. What does that offer for your winery?
Well, obviously it's where we cellar the wines, and again, they always stay in here. For us, what's really important is that not only do they stay cool, but they also keep the humidity inside the cave. Mm-hmm. And this humidity is really important because it keeps the alcohol where we want it to be. When we've made, you take so much trouble at picking at the right time with the right flavors, sugar development, and you want that to stay throughout the wine's aging process.
Right.
If it's very dry, it starts dehydrating and the alcohol slowly creeps up and creeps up. Hmm. If we're able to keep this cellar cool and humid, everything stays in the barrel just as we put it in.
Oh, perfect.
So that's really the primary purpose for us for the caves.
Very nice. Now, tell me more about art and how you've tied that in here at the estate.
Well, my parents really have a deep appreciation for art. They love old cars, which are pieces of art themselves.
Right.
My sister's an artist, and she designed and built all of the doors that you see around the tasting room patio. Right. And they just, every time they look at something that's beautiful, they kind of go around and find the perfect place to put it at Keller Estate. At the top of the hill, we've got a beautiful sculpture that is called the Burnt Trees. And on one side, you will see it's very colorful. And those are actually car plates. And it's what man does to nature. You know, we interact with nature in that way. And the backside, it's all burnt. Hmm. And that's what nature does to itself, to regenerate. So there are always pieces of art that make sense to the property and talk about, a legacy.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And why don't we go and taste some wine?
I'd love to do that.
It was so great to talk with Anna from Keller Estate Winery. From the vineyards to the winery to the wines, they're all pieces of art in their own way. And it's our honor to share them with you. Cheers, and thank you for your support.